First of all, we have this red brick arch. It's considered as an entrance of the monastery from the 7th century.
Father Mercurius shows visitors around the monastery. Founded in 360 AD, the monastery is about an hour away from the bustle of Cairo.
Welcome to the monastery of St. Makar the Great. This monastery belongs to the Coptic Orthodox Church of Egypt. The monastic life began here in the 4th century by St. Macarius the Great. And since that time, we have a continuous monastic life.
Most of the visitors to the monastery are Coptic Christians, who come to touch remains believed to be those of St. John the Baptist and the prophet Elijah. Inside the main church, Father Mercurius lifts a hatch to show where the remains were found.
In this wooden box, we have the relics of St. John, some of the relics of St. John the Baptist and Elisha the prophet. And we discovered this tomb of them in 1976 and found some of their bones inside it. In 1976, we were fixing the tiles and we were searching for this issue. We found the arch, we continued digging, found the bones, lifted them up and put it here.
But for the monastery to survive, it relies on more than just visitors to its relics. Father Mercurius describes a map showing the different fields of crops grown by the monks and their employees.
Some other plants here and there, and all of them are wheat. And here we have these date area. Here a factory of date. And this is a cow farm. This is olive.
The choice between which crops to grow for profit and which are used directly by the monastery is under constant evaluation. However, the monks decline to divulge figures about how much profit the monastery makes from selling their crops.
And we call it in Arabic gazwarina. We planted to get wood.
Father Mercurius displays the monastery's 25 acres of casuarina trees, chosen for their ability to grow in tough soil. Nearby, Father Isaac's farm in the monastery grounds sits next to a huge wheat field. Father Isaac himself is emphatic when it comes to explaining the biggest challenge to growing crops in this area.
الملح.
Salt. The monks overcome the problem of salty soil by choosing crops, like wheat and casuarina trees, which can withstand the harsh conditions. But there are also other things they can do. Father Isaac explains.
It's also about irrigation. We have two methods. One is to drop water directly onto the root of every plant in the field. The other is to spray them with water from above. The first way is more effective.
At the St. Macareus fish farm, Moheb el-Sayed Gurkis feeds tilapia fish in one of the large pools. The fish farm breeds tilapia for eating and several kinds of ornamental fish, including koi carp, for sale. Koi carp can fetch anywhere between $50 and $300 per fish, or even higher depending on the quality. Workers on different farms across the monastery are paid between 25 and 30 Egyptian pounds per day. That's a maximum of about €4. When asked if this is enough to live off, Gurkis answers,
No, alhamdulillah.
We thank God.
The monastery says that wages are low because they provide workers with accommodation and can provide health care if there are problems. Certainly, low wages are typical of Egyptian farm workers, and in that sense, the monastery is no different. But with expensive yields like koi carp, they have the potential to pay higher than average. The monastery has learned to perfect farming in the desert over time, and now boasts impressive grounds filled with trees, fruit, and animals. But environmental protection is about more than just the result. It's about protecting everyone involved in the supply chain. Ruth Michelson, RFI, at the St. Macareus Monastery.